Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
We ask for the anointing to flow correctly with the utterance to speak. The utterance, the right words. We give you thanks, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, last week, we were seeing something very interesting on honor, and today I'll be continuing with it. With the honor that comes from God, a very precious gift. And very few people nowadays appreciate what the honor of God is. But it's something that we should treasure. It's one of the greatest promises that, to me, apart from the honor of God, but apart from prosperity and healing, which I believe in the Bible, but I believe there is no greater gift than the honor of God. I'm going to give multimedia some time that they can have the word honor ready that we saw last time. I'm going to have a lot to speak on. I believe that by faith, the Lord will help me to explain everything and take great advantage of my time. The Bible says that taking advantage of your time, the time should be well used. And not everyone does it. But even to preach, to speak, to prophesy, everything that we do, even in our daily lives, we have to know how to take advantage of time. So, where we left off last time, was in the first book of Samuel. We saw that the children of Eli were very ungodly. We saw that all that part there. But one of the things that I want to focus on and remind you of, 1 Samuel 2:17. For great was the sin of the young men before the eyes of the Lord. For the men abhorred the offering of the people. But here, the men, referring to the people of Israel in general, not just the young men, which were the children of Eli. So I've seen nowadays, with what's going on in the world, and help me, Father, to explain this, not everyone, observes correctly. They're not very good observers. Perhaps God didn't call them for it. Perhaps they don't exercise it, but I personally, and it's not boasting for what I'm going to speak, the subject I'm going to speak, and to say this, something that I like to do a lot is study, and I observe my surroundings with what's going on in the world. Not to worry, not to be criticizing anyone. I like to observe, and everything that I observe, I compare with the Bible, with what the Bible says in these times. Because the Bible says that if you want to be firm and strong, make sure that you do not fall. So with everything that's going on right now, there is a purpose for why they happen. And the moment will come, and you'll see it more and more often. I don't know if you focused. Again, not everyone is a very good observer, but there will be a great apostasy in the final times. So if you think, if you're those of who thinks that, oh, that's not going to happen to me, then you should be more and more firm than before. Because the people that think that will never fall in any of that are the ones that are more likely to fall. Which is why you should stay firm in what you believe and in what you think. Amen. You should be firm in it. Well, nowadays, from here on out, you'll see it in a surprising quantity. One of the things that there is there are ministers who are compromising and diluting the word of God. When you dilute the gospel, that's what happened. Now here, the children of Eli were compromising the word. And of course, we see Eli, and this goes to many other parents. If you're a father, speaking of the man, the father, head of the house, should read these. because with a lot of understanding, so that the Holy Spirit can speak to him. Because the father, the head of the house, has a lot of responsibility. Children, many of times, are a reflect of fathers and parents in general of the families. So many times people try to excuse saying, oh, well, they grew up, they took their own decisions. That's true. That can also happen. But there's a promise of God that says, if you instruct or train a child in his ways, when he grows up, he will not depart from it, those ways being of the Lord's. That's a promise that the Lord will honor from you. Now, go to chapter 2. I forgot where we stayed last time. I believe it was in verse... Well, no one took note of it. Okay, well, I'll just continue. Verse 22. I went all the way to 30. Oh, wow. Okay, thank you. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Then, we're going to read from verse 27. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself in the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Notice in verse 22, we'll read from verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel. You know what they would do? He would do all, just listen. He would just hear and listen to what they were doing, but didn't do anything about it. And not only did they not respect the offerings of the Lord, which is what I'm quoting. In verse 22 now, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle. So he said to them, why do you do such things? Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil doings, dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not hear the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. As to say, nowadays God lets things happen because men let things happen. Human beings, if you let things happen in your life, God's going to let it. Why? Because you have the authority here. You see, I know, for religion, it's easier, it's much easier to say, oh, it's all God. If something good, it's God. If something bad, well, it's God. There are people who say, well, God doesn't make me pray, why should I pray? God is not going to obligate you to anything. He will teach and instruct you, but not obligate. And it was the only scoldings of Eli's to do. And you know, Eli was a judge. He had authority. Perhaps not the physical authority to perhaps submit his children, to make his children submit. But he could have removed them from that post. This was before the establishment of kings for Israel. From this story on, the first king, which was Saul. Now continuing. Verse 27. Then a man came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your fathers when they were in Egypt, as to say his ancestors, when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt? Did I not choose him? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? Did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? So Eli was of the tribe of Levi. Verse 29, why did you kick my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, verse 30, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Notice this again. I will honor those who honor me. So do you understand the context now? Last Sunday I spoke on this, on where this verse or this expression, I will give honor to those who honor me, came from. Well, we see why the people were in disobedience. So this means God loves everyone, all his children, but he will not honor all his children. Now, I don't know if they have the word for honor ready. Right. So we saw some other verses as well that had to be with the word honor. Though you may not see honor, it's the same Hebrew word. One of those words is to abound in riches. It has to do with something that's heavy. In the presence of God, or you see something very great in your life, how God backs you up. That's what that expression means. Something heavy. Now go to 3 John. 3 John 2. 3 John 1, 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. In what? In all things. So all things would include money? Yes. But it would be the only thing? No. That's the thing. In all things. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Notice this. And be in health. Just as, another way of saying, the same way as your souls as your soul prospers. So your soul and your spirit are different. Although your soul is connected to the spirit, they're two different entities. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. And that is what is known as being carnal. Those carnal Christians are those who are guided by their five senses or are guided by their soul only. Brother Hughes, then how can I know if I'm carnal? Well, there are many ways that the Bible tells us to evaluate. One of them is this. Are you a person who is quickly offended by something? You quickly get angry for something. Are you someone who is a hothead? If your answer is yes, you're carnal. That's what being carnal is. It's being guided by the five senses. Another one. It's not the only one. It's another one. Are you a person who is easily worried? Someone who easily changes from one state of emotion to another? I'm making questions. I'm not accusing anyone. That is being carnal. Guided by the five senses. Do you take quick decisions without meditating on them because something's going on? So you say, I have to do this without consulting the Holy Spirit and the Word. That's being carnal. Are you quick to disobey the Word, the written Word? That's being carnal. And what happens with carnal people? They give too much place to the devil. And they see very few benefits of the kingdom of God. Amen. That's an issue that we have. And it's something that if you truly want to enjoy, who knows that this life isn't perfect on this earth? It's not perfect. And praise the Lord for our electoral results, but how long could it last? 2 years? 4 years? Amen? So nothing is perfect on this earth. Nothing is perfect. And life is difficult sometimes. And then still adding carnality and giving place to the devil, even more difficult. So, In all areas. Honor is something that comes from God. Again, help me with the word honor. Notice. To glorify, to enjoy honor, health, abundance, to exalt, to aggravate, to increase the weight of something, to make it heavier, to load, to overload, to oppress. For example, you could use the word in the Hebrew as something negative, but in this case, we're using it in the positive. Amen. So that means God will honor you in all areas. But you know how God will honor you? If someone says, oh, I don't see honor from God. I don't see much honor from God towards me, Brother Hughes. It's because you're not honoring him. Simple as that. It's not a condemnation. I'm just telling you why. But you can change it. You can say, oh, I'm going to start honoring God more and see greater honor in your life. Amen. Now again, I'll repeat it. And here comes with prayer as well. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Something very quickly here. If you do not spend the most time, which is most probable that many Christians do not spend time, is what I'm trying to say. Doing this. Notice this. 1 Corinthians. Verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue or in an unknown tongue, or that unknown tongue would be for you because you don't know that tongue, to your five senses. Notice that first phrase. 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue. Now notice in verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue and or in an unknown tongue edifies himself. It's unknown for your five senses if I start praying right now. To my mind, it's unknown unless I pray in English or Spanish. One more time, go to verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, the inner man, where Christ is. But my understanding is unfruitful. So this means, when you pray in tongues, it has nothing to do with your five senses. It has to be spiritual. Eventually, in your own understanding, you will understand it. But first, it needs to take control here in the spirit. For if I pray in an back to verse 4. Verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing in the Spirit and I will sing in the understanding. Now continuing with this. Go to Jude. The only chapter that Jude has. Verse 20. But you, beloved. Now, why does it say, but you, beloved? Notice in verse 19. These are sensual persons. Sensual, like in the world. Oh, that man is very sensual. They a good vibe or perhaps attractive. But the word sensual means attractive. It means of your feelings. What does it sound like? People who are carnal. What we just spoke of. I know how some of you think. Some of you think, oh yes, yes, amen, like that. Come on. Speak harsh to us. I'm not speaking harshly. Someone told me on Thursday, why aren't you speaking so kindly? Well, forget about that. Or just scolding. That comes from religion where they're always having to lash out on you every service. Some of you are happy. I've been in churches where they're lined up all the way to the edge of the wall. I once got so disappointed. A pastor, almost after scolding, supposedly preaching, he preached to them, prophesied, sent them to hell, brought them back up of everything. And the people, oh, amen, glory to God. They started throwing offerings on the altar. And I thought, my God. And I was going to bring a message of who you are in Christ. So can you imagine? Tell me if it went very well for me. No, the people, no, pastor, bring us someone invited like you. who spits at us and curses at us. I'm giving you this so that your life can change and so you can learn to receive more honor from God. But it's up until you receive from God. You honor God. This is one of the best ways that there to do so. Verse 20, but notice the difference between the carnal person and the spiritual. Not having the Spirit, verse 20, but you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That even helps you to walk in love, not to have so much hatred and holding something against someone because someone said something about you. Don't love yourself too much. Always think this. You're more than a conqueror in Christ, in your spirit. You can do everything through Christ who strengthens you. That's the promise here in the spirit. But in your flesh, every once in a while, confess, I'm no better than anyone. And always think that others are better than you. But then you're not going to get offended. I'm speaking in your flesh. I've been telling you, in that church, many of the leaders told the pastor, no. Don't invite Brother Hughes. And I know some of them. Personally. I found them again. Do you think I told them, why'd you tell him that? This is and this about me. Forget about that. Just teaching and teaching, speaking with the Bible and teaching. They want someone that's constantly lashing out on them every service. But it's not me. I'm not the one that they need. Mine is to preach the word, and it's on you on how much you live it, receive it, and act on it. Amen. That's how this works. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit isn't always praying in tongues. And sometimes praying in tongues isn't always praying in the Spirit. But you'll do it quickly. And you're hearing from God how you're hearing on how your words are going to come out. Did you know that there are some languages, speaking languages around the world, languages, dialects, that speak like this between themselves? And then the other one answers. So what are you going to say? Oh, that's not a language. Well, for them it is. Actually, that is a link. So if you hear someone speaking in tongues and it sounds a little different to how you sound, don't say, oh, that one isn't praying in tongues. God understands those tongues. It's unknown to you and me, but not for God. But you see, that will teach you sometimes. If you're praying in tongues, and then the marvelous thing is about it is that you don't have to think on what to say. How do I start? Oh, you say, Father, thank you. I love you. Thank you that you are with me. Yesterday, on the road to Tucson, I slept for a while. My son was driving, and I slept from around Davis Road all the way to Benson. And once I saw that we reached a gas station there in Benson, the one that we normally arrive to, I woke up and my son asked me, did you sleep? I said, yes. And then we loaded up some gas, went to grab some snacks, and when we were going on I-10, I thought, I don't know what we're going to do in Tucson. I said, what am I going to speak on, son? He said, I don't know, Dad. You know what I started doing? I started praying in tongues. And that's what I spoke on yesterday, that according to my opinion, which is the important one, because I was the one that spoke on it, it was a very good word. Is that right, Rene? You were there. If you start praying, you'll understand the word more, and you'll know what to do. And from here on out, there are people who want to pray when they're in the middle of a situation. Sometimes it's too late to pray. The consequences are already here. Now, you can repent and pray to get out of that situation. But how many of you know it's best to prevent? It's best, and it's better to prevent. So start hearing from God. Start listening. Don't take decisions that just because... Okay, I'll put an example. I hope I don't hurt this microphone here. And hurt it or something. But if in the natural this microphone falls, what is it that we do in the natural? If it were to fall, falls right there. If you're here, what do? You would quickly pick it up, correct? Well, you understood. But there are times that the situation that we go through, you cannot act in the natural. You cannot use your logic. You have to use the spirit. Can't just act because, oh, well, my friend told me this and my partner did this and my best friend did this and that brother in Christ did that. Can't use other people as examples unless if they're in disobedience. I say this with all respect. None of you here are my role model standard. Truly, it's the word of God. Unless, I'm going to clarify, I can see some of you faithful in faith, then that also stimulates my faith or inspires my faith. But I can't just follow any other Christian. And actually, I'm a pastor, and believe me, I'm very receptive to other pastors as well. I respect them, but I'm not very close to them in that sense. Okay. Did you understand that part? Honor. You have to seek the honor of God. If you're going to seek something, seek the honor. But not out of desperation. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to start doing what's in the Bible. Speak faith. And speak strength. Go back to the ancient times. On Thursday, I spoke on the ancient path or the old path. If you weren't here, you can buy the audios on our website. Now, go to 1 Timothy. I'm going to read on from here. And I'm going to have to say something. Sometimes you test saying certain things. Because I don't want to sound like I'm judging anyone. But sometimes I do have to say certain things. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Oh, 2 Timothy, correct. Did I say first? Oh, my apologies. All of you are prophets here. You should have known what it was. No, it was my error. 2 Timothy 3. Kidding. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Do you see how we read on praying in other tongues? You need this. You need it. I believe, according to what I know, the grand majority of you here are baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to pray in other tongues. The issue is, not everyone does it. Just with the face that I see on some of you here. You don't spend time. Maybe 2-3 words. Take the time. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, all scripture. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete. That word complete means mature, completely mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's a difference between a carnal and a mature person. The carnal one isn't mature. They're children in Christ. Fight and argue. But there's something good that they do have. I always try to see the positive side of things. That if they want, they can change. How many of you know that a kid can grow up in the natural? Well, in the spiritual, is the same. not everything is lost. For the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now here comes what I'm going to say. I hate saying this, but I need to give examples of it. I personally, as I said in the beginning, I love to observe things. I don't know, perhaps, if that's how God made me or I developed it, that I could be more effective with what I do of preaching the Word of God. But according to me, around 20 years from the year 2000 forward, there were certain changes in the body of Christ. And it was due to the easy access to the internet. After the year 2005, which was the first social media, here you will be able to help me with, and it's not a question with a catch, it's just an honest question. What was the first social media that there was? Who remembers? Before Facebook and all of that. MySpace. Do you remember what year it was made? So it had to be after the year 2000. So after that, social media started propagating information, not as much as there is now, but it started, and then the internet started, and then summer 2007, something happened. The first iPhone was launched. And from there on, the access to information started growing. What many people don't know and don't understand is that all the information that you can have on the internet, not everything is true. And not everything is 100% correct. But people, if I were to make a question, in what year this and that, the easiest is they go to Google. But there are things that we do not have all the information. I'm saying this because I'm trying to get to a point here. So when information started growing then, what people who go against the word started to grow. They say, oh, these were in the times of Paul and this and that, but they were more already. Those type of people were already here. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Who likes to study the word? 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. I like to study the word. Verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith, verse 19, and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, 20 of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul respected God very, very much. Notice how he mentioned leaders that he had before, or people that were under him, that were against what he preached, and there were people already preaching against the word of God. Now go to 2 Timothy 2. Verse 15. Oh, verse 14, apologies. Remind them to these things, charging them. 2 Timothy 2:14. Reminding them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to not profit to the ruin of the hearers. I hear people who start watching things on social media and start talking about the things with their families for some stupid thing that another stupid idiot put on social media. My brothers and sisters, when are you going to believe this? When are you going to believe the word of God? We just saw that the word of God is inspired by God. Verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Can you see it? There will be people that will go away from the truth, listening to stupid people and foolish people. There's a question that I want to make. Perhaps not everyone knows it or will answer it. But could some of you who already know me for many years, for what reason have I not fallen? Could some of you give me the answer? Because I have the same access to the same information that you could have. Because what? Decisions, that has a decision has a lot to do with it, but what else? For a conviction, yeah. The conviction and that decision come from what? Exactly. Because one of the things is I do not participate of speaking nonsense. If you go to my home, I'm going to bore you. Because perhaps I'm not going to speak unless you ask me something. And if you start speaking of another person, saying, oh, this isn't that, I'm going to say, no, I don't want to speak of that subject. If you want to speak, it's because you want to fix that issue with that brother or sister in Christ. And right there, I'm going to cut off the conversation. The other is, I'm not listening to that nonsense and not letting myself guided because I study the same, brings me conviction, and I'm not listening to nonsense. For example, tithing is of the law. If you're a studier of the word, and you're not just a studier, you've practiced giving. My wife was Syrian Muslim wife in Indonesia after the rise of ISIS started in mid 2012. Brought her back in 2022, and surprisingly, she converted to Christianity without telling me. These are people who watch us. So you see, the internet isn't for you, it's for them. Amen. Glory to God. That's how it works. Supposedly, that's how it should work. We're still together, blessed with two beautiful girls and one baby boy, and living in Al-Hasaka, there in Syria. Yes, I believe so. According to what I know, it's in Syria. And believe me, people, the growth of Christianity in the Middle East is faster than those believing in Islam. We are just not showing to the world about our conversion because of our fear of persecution. I'm not ashamed and I'm not afraid of revealing my faith in Jesus, but I am afraid of my family's safety. May my brothers and sisters show bravery to those who want to kill us. Jesus is the way and the truth, the first and last. Remember what I shared with you a while ago? That here in the United States, we do not value. We live in a country that, regardless of everything, we're very comfortable. We can drive in air-conditioned cars, the majority of us, where we have all types of commodities, semi-new cars, new cars, but we've substituted staying at home and watching the service in our living rooms, majority in this country, or in our bedroom, because they're tired, they say. And these people write this with a lot of fear, but to testify. And they're learning in all these principles of faith and the King. It's up until the people and go through a disgrace that they change. But we shouldn't have to. When we can value everything that God has given us. Glory to God. Glory to God. And those type of people are the ones who tell me sometimes that they want more honor or to learn of honor. Those types of Christians. Your actions speak more than your words. Amen. Attitudes speak more than words. Look at James 1, which is why honor is something that we should constantly work in. James 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Start speaking more in tongues. Start speaking more in tongues than any other thing, and you'll understand better what I'm speaking. I started hearing, and I believe someone wrote a letter to me or an email to me, although I didn't find those videos, but there are people who, from the looks of it, are even criticizing King James because they, in the Spanish version. Well, praise the Lord that there were two Catholic priests. I'll tell you something good about them. Did you know that there was a man named Geronimo, who is known as Holy Geronimo, who was the one who translated the Bible from Greek and Hebrew to Latin? I'll explain something about the Bible so you can understand. When it says all scripture was referring principally when the Apostle Paul, go back to 2 Timothy 3:16 and read it one more time. Help Miller to explain this. All scripture. Notice how it says all scripture. Who wrote the book, the letter to Timothy? The Apostle Paul. According to historians, it was the last letter he ever wrote because he was imprisoned in Rome, actually. Notice in chapter 4, this is a letter, 2 Timothy 4, when he starts telling him that the times were going to come where the people would not want to hear the word of God. So let's read from 1 to verse 6. From 1 to 6. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 1:4, who will judge the living and the dead as his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season, not of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers. As I said on social media, you can find all types of information of so-called preachers or incorrect information. You will find people speaking against biblical prosperity because, yes, there are some, as we saw, I talked against about those who go to the other extreme. But it's biblical spiritual friends, prosperity. No ministry can go ahead, no church can go ahead without money. You and I in the natural cannot go forward without money. We live in a society that's based on finances. The only difference is we believe that God is the one that gives us and provides to us, but truly that money is His. He is the owner of all silver, gold, oxygen, and the earth. So what verse did I stay on? Did I stay on 3? Did I finish reading it? Verse 4. And they will turn their ear away from the truth. They will turn aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Those afflictions that will come due to criticism. Work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Not saying that we're all evangelists. Saying that the work of the evangelist is when we speak of others, of the Lord Jesus Christ. One time I was in a church, and before the Lord gave me the place to preach, I was exhorting the church and saying, brothers and sisters, and he asked me right in front of the church, in front of the congregation. He was sitting down in front, and he said, is that right, Brother Hughes, that those who multiply are the sheep and not the pastors? I said, yeah, of course. Because I know that you have a business with animals, correct? I said, yes, I have sheep. I have sheep, goats, cattle. I said, exactly. You feed the cattle and they multiply. I told him sitting down, when he was sitting down, you see, brothers and sisters, we should do that. And a sister raised her hand, the congregation, and said, pastor, can I say something? And she got up. And I thought, oh God, what is this little sister going to say? And yeah, she came up with a good one. She said, brother, well, You want us to invite people, but we barely even come, and you still want us to bring someone else. I said, oh, yeah. Oh, the pastor just, he looked at me as saying, forget about it, forgive us. Don't take this into account. I said, don't worry. Welcome to the club. I know what this is about. Don't worry about it. And when he got down, I took my place. I said, don't worry, I go through the same thing. It's part of the show. But you know, well, I didn't tell him that. I told him after I finished preaching. But I said, you know what? If you, as a person, as a brother in Christ, not just as a pastor, if you honor God, he will honor you. I believe this on honor because I've seen it in my life and it's here in the scripture. Now notice verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to mention only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing, be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me. Demas was one of his great disciples. He mentioned him in Colossians. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Praises for Galatia, Titus, or Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. But you know what happened? Paul, this was his final letter, and he was ready to be delivered. He was in Rome. But when I said this, because according to history, I said according because I don't know you, but I was born in 1975 according to history. This is written between the year 64 to 65 after Christ. Were any of you born during that time? No, then that's why I said according to history. So when Paul wrote this, and he said in Timothy 3, when he said all scripture, he was referring specifically, more than anything, what is known as the first covenant, which are the Psalms, all the prophets, and the law of Moses. Now, let me tell you something about history. If you believe me, well, if not, listen, because the majority of all data in history is approximated data. For example, if the Lord Jesus Christ, according to history, died in the year 33, if the Lord Jesus Christ, according to history, died in the year 33, when Paul wrote 2 Timothy to give an estimated number, what year did I say? 60, 77? In the year 33 when the Lord died, 50 days later, the church started what is known as the time of grace. The time of grace. The book of Acts 2. I believe with all my heart. Sweetie, I remember. We need you. Yes. We need Nubia. Baptism with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Okay. That will help you. That's what we're speaking on. Because I believe this. I believe with all my heart. Actually, the majority of churches that I go to, not all of them, but the majority, after I minister, I pray for the people, and I minister the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes pastors don't let me. Sometimes they'll tell me not to. But normally that's what I do. But that's what I would do before when I would rent. Not hotels. Well, a reservation in a hotel, I would also speak on this. Because I believe it. So I'm about to close up. In the year 33, the Lord Jesus Christ passed away according to history. Did you live there? Did you see when the Lord Jesus Christ died? No, then. That's all some say. Some say the year 30, but we don't know. But in the day of Pentecost, which is why the day of Pentecost, it's 50 days. After 50 days is what is known as the time of the church, or the time of grace, the grace of God. The sixth dispensation. So the Apostle Paul still We didn't know anything about him yet. We following along? So, give or take, what is the year 33 to 57? How long is that? It's what? 24 years later. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. These people are the ones that I'm interested in. Not saying that you aren't, like, oh, I don't care about them. Oh, we don't care their pastor anymore. No, but people like my sister over here, my young sister in Christ here, or the people in this testimony, people that watch us on television, the state of Sonora, or the people up in the mountains in Chihuahua. Those are the people. And that's what my heart is for. And that's why I pray a lot in the spirit, because I don't know many of them. But that's the love of God. I don't know how to say in my heart. I'm going to say a bad confession here, but it's, you know what an analogy is? It's an example. My heart burns for those people, for seeing them grow and mature in the Lord and live in the perfect will of God. That for me is the best, which is why, even of my own money, of my own business, last time, I went to Wilcox to sell some calves and then other animals. I left them there. Then buyers came and all profit I sold in the kingdom of God, because I believe in this. I believe in it, and I'm believing the Lord for more, to increase my cattle and my sheep. Now, what did I say? 1 Corinthians 13? That means the Apostle Paul supposedly wrote this around the year 54 when he spoke on love. If the church started in the year 33 to 54, that's what? 22 years? From 33, 43, 53, that's 21 years. For those 21 years before the letters of Paul, the church studied the Old Testament. With the revelation now, the only thing that changed was the motive. Now they didn't bring sacrifices or sheep. They didn't bring goats to sacrifice or cattle. They left those rites of the law. But the principle was the same. And if you just study the book of Deuteronomy, the light and the revelation and grace of God, there are great promises that are there. Well, as I said on that information, because there are many saying, oh, well, tithing is of the law, giving is of the law. Oh, don't read the Old Testament. Now, let's see if someone understands this of history. The first version... Again, I'm going to review. Bible was made canon. To understand what canonized means, made canon was placed in order. The first 27 books of the Testament. But the law of Moses, by the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, they already had the law. As you remember how we studied the Lord, it was said that he read their word of the prophet Isaiah. Remember that? That's what they would read. And when the church started that as well. Which is why when the Apostle Paul was writing those letters, you will see many times he said, as it is written. With that being said, the first version, when the Bible was canonized, made in order, placed in order, according to history, the year 397. In Tunisia, in Africa, but one man named Geronimo, which history is known as San Heron Geronimo or Holy Geronimo, when the Bible was being canonized, it was in Hebrew, Aramaic, and in Greek. One man named Geronimo, according to history, translated it of those language to Latin. Which is why I believe all of you know about this. For many years, Mass was given in Latin. For centuries. And just, I don't know, maybe 40, 50 years ago, perhaps 60 years ago, it was still made in Latin. I don't remember that part correctly. But just a couple years ago in our era now. And it was translated from those languages to Latin, which is known as now, which is known as the more popular version of the people. But again, according to history, between 1930 something, a man named John Wycliffe translated it to English. It was a man from England. In 1300, John Wycliffe, but then the version of King James. Give me whichever verse we were at in James. He didn't like the version of Wycliffe. Because again, because he felt that it wasn't very well translated. There we go. This version here, King James, is where it says thou, chu, things of the sort with that Elizabethan English. Now, all this word here is inspired by God. All principles that are there from Genesis to Revelation is the word of God. It was up until, again, speaking now of King James in the Spanish version, the Catholic people, instead of being criticized, you have to study a bit on history. We give them a lot, we owe them a lot to those first Catholics. You have a version in Spanish in 1569. Yeah, they were Catholic and were converted to what is known as Protestant. It simply means they understood that faith, salvation, was through Jesus Christ and not based on rites. I can assure you that if many Protestants understood what I'm speaking, they'd drop a bit on that rhetoric against Catholics. Not defending doctrines, I'm speaking against the people. Amen. You were born, Amen. Glory to God. It was the principles. There we go. And of course, so what happens then when we come to the Lord, we're born again, comes the Holy Spirit now, and now better illumination, better revelation comes, better discernment, better understanding. So then now we preach. Did you know that the majority of the people that watch me here in Sonora are Catholic? And now they say, oh, now I'm understanding more. Ah, there we go. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to understand more. You understand? But my point is here in saying this was that this word is the word of God. All of it. Here we have promises in Deuteronomy on your children. There are promises of blessing. You know that Deuteronomy 28, all the chapter 28, where the blessings are at, is the blessing of Abraham. Forgive the expression that I'm going to use. Some idiots are preaching, oh, Deuteronomy 28 is of the law. You're losing great blessings here. So what is it then that the church of the New Testament, when they were reunited, what would they study? They would study the law of Moses, the prophets, the law, but they'd see it now in the light. They would understand that everything that it said, the commandments, that the law was an obligation, they would see it here with the light of the revelation of the Holy Spirit of the New Testament. It was, the motive was love. But we have to be very careful of that modernism of the churches of not studying anything of the Bible, just leaving the Bible aside. Now, criticizing the Bible, saying the Bible was written by men. Well, of course. But now we saw that the Apostle Paul revealed to us it was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, I'll leave it here. Well, part of the Bible speaks on giving in the Word of God. And while you stand on your feet, I'm going to remind you this. Everything that we do is motivated by love. It's true, we cannot obligate you to come to church to pray. I just spoke on speaking in other tongues, but I cannot obligate you. I can teach you. I cannot obligate you to give, but I can teach you to give. I can inspire you to give. Amen. To continue reaching more people that we saw here in the testimony of these Muslim people. Ex-Muslims. My apologies. Ex-Muslim. Father, we love you. I don't know you, about you. About you, but... Oh, that's another little hymn. But not about you, but this was very good on what I spoke on. I don't know. I'm very passionate for the word.
I like to see this with... The Lord spoke to me regarding some things. The book of Samuel and Jeremiah. Imagine if I told the Lord what book to use. Because I know the Lord's voice. And that's why we combine the word, the written word, and the voice we hear. So like when Mireya has about last days, we set our attention on that because it's one of the few workers that speak the We don't say that all the word, but the truth we see, that we know, that we understand. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you honor. We don't want to be like children of Eli. Take those offerings. But we take the time and we praise you with our time. For allowing us to continue to reach different countries. Different places through television, radio, internet. And we give you thanks for your word also says that when we give, you see money as a seed, and from there you bring a multiplication. Thank you, Lord, that you multiply everything we give, and you bring benefits to our personal lives, our families' lives. And with that, we keep growing. And when the Bible says we bring it to the basket, to our storage, that's where in Malachi it says, bring all tithes to the basket. That basket is a storage for abundance. Thank you, Lord, because we use that money from the basket for a good reason. Oh, television is expensive, but it is an effective media in a lot of places. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to extend the word through many places. Thank you that you speak to the hearts of the people. We cannot obligate someone and set an amount, but we can teach, and that the Holy Spirit brings the conviction to each and one of them. In the name of Jesus, if you listen from the Lord will tell you what your participation will be. He'll give you an amount, only you and God. Did you hear when I said, when I sold my cattle, I didn't ask the Lord for permission. It was between him and I. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and we honor you. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.